Welcome to another episode of General Nerd Sense, the podcast from Shield Wall Productions, where we talk about anything and everything. Generally nerdy, hence the name. And on this episode, we have myself, John.
And Jacob.
What are we doing, Jacob?
We're doing my new D&D campaign.
Dun dun dun.
It's not quite as ominous as the last one.
Fair.
Yeah. It is... I just did the first session, and it has been a blast so far. Also, a little breath of fresh air with new character that isn't quite as malicious.
It's nice to do nice things sometimes, isn't it, Jacob?
It is.
Yeah.
And I mean, so far, everyone loves my character. Like, their characters love my character. Because it's hard to hate my character.
And they don't love it in the sense that, like, it's like a complete... Just like, what the fuck, love? Like, people, like, love the doc. Like, the other players love the doctor.
No, it is, like, an actual, aw, this character's nice. We haven't seen nice before. We're bad people.
Shame on them for not being suspicious.
I know, right? Like, I think it's... I've told them numerous times so far that this character is going to be wholesome. So...
Sure.
But they should also suspect that I have underlying motives, so.
Right, they should at least, like, take that at face value with the pinch of salt and be like, okay, nice. Nice things are nice. But we'll be waiting for that other shoe to drop.
I mean, the other shoe is just tragic backstory.
Right.
So I guess I do have underlying motives here. It's just take him on a feels trip to the Philippines.
Very nice. Very nice. So, how'd it go?
It went pretty well. I unfortunately woke up late that day, so I was a little bit late coming into the campaign, but
it
worked out because they had started the campaign, and when I joined in, the DM was like, oh, you're here, awesome, because sometimes I, after a long shift, will sleep for stupid periods of time.
Yes.
Also made the mistake of trying to stay up from my shift until the campaign. I was like, I can do it.
Yeah, bad call.
And I couldn't.
Bad call.
So I slept for like an hour because I was up at 5 and the campaign started at like...
AM or PM?
PM.
Okay.
Sorry, I was up at 5 and then I fell asleep for 2 hours and the campaign was starting at like 6:30.
Oh.
So it's like 30, 45 minutes late to it.
Nailed it.
But I come in and the DM's like...
You don't treat only work with that sort of...
It's... Yeah, I mean, with some of the hours I work, I got off a 18-hour shift, went to class, so I got home and I've been up for like 28 hours.
By that point, yeah.
Yeah. It's not fun.
No. But anyway.
Regardless, I got in and the DM just really quickly told me, hey, you lost the goblin and the rat, which their names are Kios and Skreek.
Nice.
You can tell which one's the rat and which one's the goblin.
Yes.
And you've been looking all over for him when you turn the alley and you find Skreek on top of someone. Like the person had fallen over and then Skreek fell on top of them.
Okay.
So without breaking stride, because I had just gotten in and the DM was already incorporating me, and I was like, yes. So I walk up and in my Xander voice, I'm like... There you are. I have been looking all over. Where did you go? Why did I lose you? And so the party, like, right off the bat, because I'm trying to do only in-character roleplay for the entire session.
Right.
And so far, it's been working out.
Okay.
And the rest of the party is kind of introduced to Xander right off the bat with how friendly he is and how happy he is just to see that he finally found his friends.
Yes.
Aww. So what had happened was Skreek was, I think, trying to steal the coin purse off the bard and had critical failed and then pushed the bard over and fell on top of them.
Nailed it.
But while pushing him over, went to another roll to steal from the bard, stole a gold piece. At the same time, the bard rolled to steal something off of Skreek and also stole a gold piece.
Lateral move. Nothing was gained, nothing was lost, but both parties feel better about it themselves.
And both of them, like, failed to see the other person steal a coin from each other.
So they both think that they're one gold piece up.
Yes.
Victimless crime has just been committed.
I know. It's amazing.
Like, victimless crime, no one has lost anything, no one has gained anything, but no one has lost anything, but both parties feel better about themselves.
And Xander, when he walked in, did a perception check and saw both of them steal a gold piece off of each other.
And just kind of shook his head, just...
So what Xander did is he walked over and he's like, come on, get off the poor woman, and picks up Screek by, you know, the scruff of the neck and sets him down and, like, brushes him off.
Mm-hmm.
Screek, who's now happy that his muscles here, hides behind Xander and tries to tell Xander that the bard has been harassing him. So what did Xander do? Oh, no, no, no. Outstretches an arm for this poor bard that he knows his little mischievous rat buddy has probably not been too nice to either.
Right.
Pulls him up by the hand.
He knows the rat is lying. He just doesn't care.
And brushes off their shoulders. It is at this point that the other two party members also find their way into the same alley. We all meet in an alley. At least it's not an inn.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not an inn.
So, next two party members, besides the bard, the rat, and the goblin, who's also there, a half-orc barbarian comes in. He's a new D&D player.
Okay.
And so far, he's doing pretty good.
Oh.
The only new player sin I've seen is very tragic backstory. And, like, trying to redeem himself. But it's not really a sin, it's a trope.
Right.
So, I'm like, okay, benefit of the doubt. This is your first D&D game. I'm happy that you're role-playing it.
We all done it.
Yep.
We've all done it at least once.
Yeah, some of us more than once.
I said at least once. I didn't say just once.
Very true. And then the other person comes in who is... I think his character's kind of like a clone of Khajiit.
Okay.
So...
Stanky cat person.
Yeah. Who's also exorbitantly tall, like 6'7".
Okay.
So Xander turns, sees extremely tall, you know, cat person, and, hello, Screek, are these your friends also?
Oh, what could possibly go wrong, a rat person and a cat person in the same party?
I know, it's amazing. And they've already kind of talked about it. We were talking about it after the session. They're going to play the cat and mouse trope of just...
They're going to Tom and Jerry it up, aren't they?
Yeah.
Awesome.
After, you know, the two new party members come in, a person walks down the alley because there's some, like, commotion going on nearby of one of the, like, I think the DM calls them patricians of the city. It's like a landowner in the city.
Yes.
Is, like, going on kind of a parade or whatever when he goes through the streets. So a kind of shady man walks by and tells us, hey, your loyalties are actually with this different patrician, and then gives us money.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So Xander feels the weight. Yes, my loyalties lie with Patrician Matthews. He is good man.
Well, he's a merc. It's hard to argue with who's got the heavier coin.
That was exactly what I was role-playing right away, because, yeah, we hear, like, the commotion in the streets of this well-loved patrician of the city. However, this other patrician has now paid me, and I...
That makes them the highest bidder.
Exactly. What was the maxim about the enemies of your friends can, fuck. I should just pull up the 70 maxims.
Keep talking. I'm doing it right now.
Okay. But basically, I was paid to respect this man of higher authority, and why should I respect anyone unless they pay me? So my Xander, he takes the coins, and he talks about with the rest of the group, so... How do you like Patrician Matthews? Because they also all got coin. And the general consensus among the party was Patrician Matthews is a very excellent patrician of the city. And we'd be very well inclined to follow along with this unknown man so far.
Well, every client is one mispayment away from being a target, and every target is one bribe away from becoming a client.
There we go. And we're also told of an inn. So we start out going to the next inn. When we're going throughout the streets, we see one of those, like, apocalyptic homeless people who's, like, talking about the end of the world.
The end is nigh. They got the sandwich board and the beer dirt.
Yeah. So far, the only couple people who have been in the city for any length of time besides, like, because our characters, the Goblin, the Ratman, and Xander, all got into the city, like, within the last hour or two.
Mm-hmm.
And they lost each other in the hustle and bustle. The Bard had been there. Actually, that's the Bard's home, the city we're in now.
Okay.
And then the Valkyr, who is the Khajiit person.
Okay.
Her character got there, like, a couple months ago because she is a cleric.
Mm-hmm.
And she was coming to, like, do pilgrimage to this temple and then got to the city and the temple had been closed for renovations. So she's been there a couple months waiting to pay pilgrimage to this temple.
Made this holy pilgrimage closed for maintenance.
Pretty much.
Okay. Well, I guess since I'm here, I'll just...
Valkyr was very sad at this fact because she's a cleric and, you know, wants to finish her pilgrimage, but she can't because it's closed.
Right.
And she can't leave the city until she finishes it.
Yes.
So we all start making our way to the inn. We see this apocalyptic old man. Valkyr rolls because she's been there for a couple months to see if she remembers him. She doesn't. Maven, who's lived in the city her entire life, like, when he rolls for his knowledge check, rolls an at 20. So everyone's telling this old man to shut up, and Maven the Bard joins in and is like, shut the fuck up, we don't know what you're talking about. And of course, the blind old man yells out, who was that? And then Xander, because we're in a southern region,
mm-hmm.
Xander is very hot. He's in a lot of armor right now.
Yes.
So, he's sweating his ass off.
Another way you could have worded that is, Xander is very hot. He's also wearing a lot of armor.
So, the DM's like, you know you're not wrong. Because the Bard tries to, like, make a charisma check to get me to, like, stay and talk with the old man.
Mm.
And the DM's like, how likely are you to stay? And I'm like, Xander is literally sweating through all of his clothes right now.
Literally melting.
And he's like, you're not wrong. Your character's from the north, and you're in the south wearing full armor.
Like, you're not a comfortable man right now.
So what I actually do is I have, a bunch of these, I have, I think, one or two extra hospital sheets.
Mm-hmm.
So I went with my trauma shears and cut out, like, a rag. And I was just, like, role-playing, because we use webcams while we role-play.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just, like, the entire time we're walking through the streets, I'm just, like, wiping my face and, like, it is very hot. Let's get inside.
Get inside, sit down, have a drink.
So we finally get inside, and Xander, like... He goes up to the counter, and, like, I'm role-playing, I'm like, Xander walks up, and he's resting on the counter, and he asks, do you have anything to wet my throat? It's very hot. So the bartender pulls out some, like, ale. Xander is starting to cool off a little bit, drinking some cool ale from the cellar in this, like, thick brick cobble building.
Mm-hmm.
So he's cooling off a little bit. And once they all sit down at the table, because... The rest of the party has kind of decided to follow to see who's this really nice guy in a bunch of mismatched armor. So they're talking a little bit. Xander's like, so, where are you from? A couple of characters, you know, just briefly tell us, okay, I'm from the city, you know. A couple of the characters start to give their entire backstory.
They start monologuing.
Yeah. For one, Valkyr starts to monologue about her backstory. And Xander is sitting there like, yes, this, I don't know what you're talking about, but this is good story.
Yeah.
And it gets to a point where, like, the character's like, oh, it was like a flowering cactus. And he's like, what is this word cacti? Cactus. You don't know what a cactus is? No. He nods his head no. So no. He's trying to describe a cactus, but he doesn't know how to describe it. Because he can't think of any northern, like, cactuses. So, like, he's like, oh, it's like...
Never once did he think to say spiky tree.
No. So he's like, and then finally he like starts to describe like spikes on. He's like, oh, like thistle. And my friend was just like, oh my God, I'm an idiot. Like big thistle.
Wow.
I also told him he could have said rose bush.
Literally anything with thorns or whatever, like would have done. Like spike tree.
Yeah. So he monologued like that kind of ended his monologue because he's like, this guy,
you sly devil, you had me monologuing.
And then the newer player character kind of mistook what I meant, because instead of like, where are you from, like I guess he kind of, him and Valkyr, his half orc is Kaneth. He starts monologuing as well, and like about his tragic backstory. And Xander, without breaking like any sort of sweat, is just like, that is sad story. I am sorry to hear. Hopefully we can make better future.
Oh. So wholesome.
I know. It also ended his like monologue, and he's like, wow, that was kind of nice. More or less, Valkyr basically became a cleric alchemist sort of person. I think he was still working on his backstory, which he told me after, because it really didn't make any sense, so I couldn't really go over it here. Because both me and Xander were just sitting there like, yes, I have no idea what is going on, but it is a good story.
Yes.
Kaneth, his backstory is his tribe kicked him out because he failed in battle or something, mm-hmm. and they couldn't have him in his, like, nomadic tribe anymore.
Right.
So now he's, like, trying to prove himself as a good warrior.
Exiled in shame.
Pretty much. So Xander was like, do not worry. We shall go adventuring. Well, past that, the bard, it comes up, you know, the bard decides to play an instrument in the bar. He rolls a 5, and then we looked at the modifier. Plus 12.
Oh.
Unless the DM just said, unless you crit fail, you will always be able to play your instrument.
And apparently play it quite well.
Yeah. Funny enough, this is the player that normally does the sniper rogue.
Okay.
So I am happy to see not a high damage rogue character and him playing something else.
You're not stat dumped into combat stat.
In fact, the DM told us, because he wasn't in the call when we were just chatting about the new campaign, he's like, I'm not allowing like bards. And then that character was like, hey, can I play a bard this time? Is something different?
And she's like, yes, oh my God, please, just as long as it's not the sniper rogue.
Yeah. So we're all happy. And he's role-playing.
I'm not allowing bards. Can I be a bard? You can be a bard. Except for you. You're allowed to play the bard because it's not your usual character. I'm proud of you.
He's playing a shape-shifting bard, too.
Uh-oh.
Which already kind of raised some eyebrows, because when we were in the alley, he makes mention that he strokes stubble on his chin,
uh-huh.
but his character is female. So we had a little bit of flashbacks from Voss's campaign.
Yes.
But we talked about it after, and it's just his character's a shape-shifter and shape-shifts for the, like, emotion and, like, comedic effect.
Right.
So Xander does not have to fear the horrors of something that existed in a different universe.
Mm-hmm.
We were worried for a couple of minutes.
Mm-hmm.
With good reason.
Right.
So we continue kind of like talking at this table when a bunch of thugs burst into the bar, start harassing people. One of the thugs is like talking to the innkeep, who's kind of uncomfortable. And then the other thugs go around the bar kind of harassing people and just being
ruffians.
Yeah, just kind of being general dickbags.
Uh-huh.
So he knocks over the bard's drink.
Uh-huh.
The bard takes considerable offense to this.
Reasonable.
However, like, the bard is the least weird and, like, character in the party, so that's why they did it.
Mm.
So the bard's like, hey, pay back my drink. And the guy's like, oh, I'm sorry. And then walks away. The half-orc barbarian, Kaneth, decides to get up because it's a barbarian, and this has the potential to be a bar fight.
And also, bards never made a decision in their lives and don't intend to start now.
Yeah. And I mean, as a person who's played multiple barbarians, any chance they get to have a bar fight, what are they going to do?
Bar fight?
Exactly.
And if I don't get chances to bar fight, Jacob, I engineer them. The bar fight is my board now.
Funny.
The plot's not progressing, so I'm just creating my own plot.
He's a brand new character, but he already knows the trope of the barbarian. And I love it. It's an inherent trope.
If there's more than 20 seconds of silence, you start a bar fight. If something punchy hasn't happened in like 10, 15 minutes, punch. Something, anything. Is it a friend? Punch him not as hard. You roll 20, say you pulled your punch. Yeah. Point is, must punch.
Must punch. I exist, therefore I punch.
Smash.
So he goes over and says, hey, you're going to pay back my friend's drink, and puts his hand on the ruffian's shoulder. Ruffian takes considerable offense to this and punches him.
Baited.
Yeah. So we all roll initiative. Funny enough, Valkyr, the cleric, gets the highest initiative.
Oh, good.
And immediately decides to turn up the knob and...
draw steel.
Well, light someone on fire.
Jesus!
It only did 3 damage, though.
Okay.
Of, like, the 12 damage it could have done. Just
3 damage, so third-degree burns?
Yeah. that was good. I'll give you that.
It was a stretch, but I tried.
The goblin decides to tackle the closest, jump onto one of the people and incapacitate him, and actually rolls high enough to incapacitate him. So imagine a 3.5-foot goblin incapacitating this full-grown man.
I've got a 3 or 4-year-old niece. I don't need to imagine this. Listen, when the child hands you a book and tells you to read, you read the first time they tell you this. Otherwise, you've got a goblin on your back.
And then from there, it's Xander's turn. Xander, not wanting to do lethal damage, because Xander, he's a man of war, and he knows that fights and bars break out, but you don't pull lethal weapons.
Right.
So he takes his shield and just runs over and hits, like, one dude in his, straight up, like, just body checks him with his shield.
Yeah. Shield charges, shield bashes, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, he still has his weapon, but he's leaving it holstered.
Right.
Because...
sheathed.
It's a Warhammer? Holster?
Whatever.
Yeah.
He hasn't drawn it.
Exactly. You know, he'll use a shield because people use chairs and stuff in a bar fight, but he's not going to pull a Warhammer on people.
Right, he's not drawing a weapon. Technically.
I do exceptionally well, and people are like, holy shit, because I do, you think it was something like 12 points of non-lethal damage? I just straight up shield bash this dude into next week.
To the wall.
Pretty much. And then the next person to go is the bard, who pulls a knife and tries to stab someone, and immediately ends the fight because the ruffians are like, holy shit, someone just pulled a knife in a bar fight, we're out.
Appropriate response.
They run out. The barbarian, who actually rolled pretty low initiative, never got to go. So he's just standing there like, what the fuck just happened?
Blue balls the size of ale caskets.
Xander yells, Bard, why did you have to go and ruin perfectly good bar fight by pulling a weapon?
Walks. This is a reasonable question.
I know. I mean, the rest of the party thought so, too. Granted, Valkyr.
Because it is a reasonable question. This isn't an objective thing. This is not like a, like, no, this is objectively a reasonable question.
Yeah.
Come on, man. We were having fun.
Valkyr also gets a little bit of a stern look from Xander because she lit someone on fire.
Also a bar fight faux pas.
Yeah. But Xander walks over without, you know, breaking stride. And picks up the one man who couldn't escape because he was incapacitated by the goblin. Picks him up by the, like, front of his shirt. Mm-hmm. And says, you pay for my friend's drink now, right?
Big smile.
Person hands over his like, wallet.
All of it.
And he's like, can I go? And he's like, of course. Xander sets him down and, like, big just kind of slaps him on the back. But slaps him, like...
out the door.
Yeah.
In the direction of the door. Just, thanks for coming. Slap him, just kind of follows through. Instead of just the path, just, like, and ushers him out.
Pretty much.
Go now before someone kills you.
The barkeep, who's pretty happy that we didn't destroy his entire bar and also
or kill anyone.
Or kill anyone, and also got everyone out of the bar who was causing trouble, says free drinks on the house. Xander's like, this is great.
And there was much rejoicing.
Then Screek makes a 20 on his charisma check to ask if we can get free rooms for the night. And
smart rat.
Yeah. And the barkeep's like, you know what? Where's my manners? You know, rooms on the house tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Xander's like, this is also great.
And there was much rejoicing.
So we sit back down at the bar. Xander takes off his helmet because Screek is a bit short and sets it down as like a booster seat for Screek.
Does he turn it upside down so he's got like a little seat?
So on my helmet, it's kind of like a lobster tail helmet.
Okay.
And it has two little winged hussar wings on it.
Okay.
So it's like little
flat
arm.
Top.
Yeah, flat top.
Gotcha. Okay.
Well, kind of a little bit curved because it's still a helmet, but flatter than like most helmets.
Right. It's not steep conical.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he sets it down as a booster seat for Screek, and they continue chatting for a little bit. One of the characters rolled for a willpower check when my character took off his helmet, which I later found out he made the poor choice of giving his character daddy problems.
Yikes.
Yeah, and failed. Crit failed.
Oof.
So his character is like...
Has now found... Imprinted.
Yeah. And that's... Like, after we chatted for a little bit more, that's, like, where we ended it for the campaign. But I'm excited, because so far, it's pretty wholesome.
And off to a good start. And no one murder hoboed, despite their best efforts.
Yeah. Xander wasn't gonna let anyone...
Murder hobo.
Murder hobo, because... Xander's not trying to spend the first night of his city in jail.
Yeah.
He just got here. It's too hot to be in jail.
I don't know. I feel like the dungeons of a... castle or keep, whatever, be nice and cool.
Maybe.
Compared to topside.
I mean...
Unless they are designed to be punishment dungeon... You know, phrasing. Unless they're designed to be more kind of a... like a genuine punishment, in which case they're above ground and in fact elevated because heat rises.
Yeah. That'd be fucking evil.
Yes.
Now, I was more thinking along the lines of, like, the public stock.
The stockades, yeah.
Yeah. You know.
Yep.
But... Regardless, Xander...
Vegetables baking in the sun.
Everyone in the party so far is kind of infatuated with Xander because he's so wholesome.
Yes.
Like, even with the failed willpower, like, save, Xander, like, was just completely ignoring anything.
Yeah.
Because he's just trying to... He's trying to find some friends.
Right. And keep them alive as long as humanly possible.
Yep. And the DM said, like, after session one, he'd get us up to level two so we could start doing a little bit more in combat.
Uh-huh.
So when I went to roll my hit dice, I doubled my current hit points.
Oh.
Cause my character gets to roll a D12 plus his constitution, and I had 15 starting hit points, and I also rolled a D12, and my constitution's 3, so I'm now at 30 hit points.
The tank has become a bunker.
Yeah. At level 2,
jeez.
30 hit points.
Jeez.
And every level I get to do that. D12 plus 3.
Tank becomes a bunker. Bunker becomes a... Redoubt becomes a...
At level 20, I become Cadia. Or no, sorry, the guard on Cadia.
Right.
Because I won't break, but the planet will.
Precisely.
I'm just waiting for level 3, because then my shield becomes, like, immovable and indestructible when I set it down.
Mm-hmm.
But...
And you can throw it.
Yeah. And it'll come back.
Without anything that, like, literally flying in the face of... the laws of physics shit that Captain America does. It looks cool, but that's not how physics works.
Yeah. This is just, you know, straight up Thor.
This is just magic.
Yeah.
And if you just say it's magic, it's okay.
And it's the only magic my character does, which I'm happy with. You know, his shield is just like...
Well, we've been over this, Jacob. Neither of us really like magic.
No.
We don't trust it.
I'll use it... Like, magical items are fine.
Sure.
But once you start using magic, that's heresy. The Inquisition will use items that have been obtained through people who
sanctioned
are...
Sanctioned means.
Yes. They've been requisitioned and repurposed.
Yes, precisely. That means that makes it okay.
The two R's.
We're not hypocrites. The Inquisition is not hypocrites. Why? Because hypocrisy is heresy, and the Inquisition are not heretics.
But Xander is not in the Inquisition because friendship is magic and magic is heresy. Xander wants his friends.
Wants his friend alive and to be happy.
Yes.
Because he is wholesome.
I'm just... Like, I sat back after the campaign, I'm like, this is one of the most fun characters I've played in forever. Just because I'm so nice, it's making everyone roleplay more. And because I can do Xander's voice pretty easily, it doesn't take, like, a whole lot of prep time or
to get
thinking. Yeah. I just kind of say whatever, like, my first gut reaction to something is, as long as it's nice.
Right. I was going to say that it's not necessarily... If it's your first gut reaction to something, that's not necessarily always in Xander character, but...
Yeah, exactly.
The first nice thing that is your reaction, that is yes.
Granted, my character does get to do taunts in combat to, like, attract enemies towards them. So I'm going...
But that's, they are good-natured taunts.
Yeah.
Like, spirit of competition-style taunts.
They're going to kind of be like the taunts that one Plague Marine was giving when...
Right, just like taunting but encouraging, kind of condescending.
Yeah. Come on, I believe you can give me a better hit than that.
Oh, this was good, yes.
You very over good. There, you look like a worthy opponent. Or are you too chicken to fight?
Yes. I like it. Fuck it, I love it.
Yeah.
Like, don't get me wrong, the doctor was great.
But he wasn't wholesome. And wholesome, it's soothing for the soul.
Yes. Food for the soul, indeed.
And it's really fun, too, because I think the interaction and making it easier for their characters to talk to Xander as, like, a friend is going to make it easier for them to roleplay.
And also might keep things on track, to be quite honest.
Yeah. Because Xander, he's not, like, the... stout head of the party, like he doesn't really make all the decisions, but he will back up the decisions.
Right.
He's not here, this works better. He's not the head, he's the neck of the party. He holds up the head.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
And so we still have one character that I think's coming in this coming week. The DM hopes that this character will have higher intelligence because currently the top three people for tied intelligence are all at 11, and Xander is one of them.
Bro.
Oh, no, sorry, not 11, 13. So we have a +1 modifier to intelligence.
Okay.
But that's the highest intelligence of the party so far.
And the GM says, with a smile.
Intelligence.
When everyone needs to be panicking. When the GM gleefully informs the party that they are lacking in characters with intelligence... Generally, even if it's not a visible smile, it is an implied smile.
Indeed.
Because that means intelligence-reliant shenanigans aren't inevitable. GMs don't get a whole lot of wins.
Yeah.
But when the party hands them that, it'll happen.
Hey, I mean, if anything, the GM wants intelligence so we don't solve all of his puzzles with brute force.
Yeah, no kidding.
Because the theme song for Xander is WWE The Wall's theme song. What you gonna do when you can't break through and you can't go through it? What you gonna do when you found the wall?
Yeah. Yup. But anyway.
Anyway.
Is that about all we got?
Yep, that's the first session in a nutshell.
All right, well, dear listeners, thoughts and opinions on Xander so far. Will he continue to be wholesome? Will he succumb to Jacob's tendencies? Give us your predictions, over-unders, whatever, over at our Facebook page, shieldwallproductions at facebook.com, or
head on over to our Twitter at the official SWP. Whether or not you want to give me any ideas for Xander, or you just want to shoot the shit and talk, I'm more than happy to do that as well.
Well played. And until next time, dear listeners, wherever you're listening to us too, be it SoundCloud, iTunes, TuneIn, wherever, don't forget to subscribe if you're not subscribed already. And until next time, we shall catch you later. Doodles!